prices keep going up and up. Shoppers in Argentina are pinching pesos to make ends meet.
The other day I came and asked for 3 tangerines, 2 oranges, 2 bananas and a half a kilo of tomatoes. When he told me it cost 650 pesos, I told him to take everything out and leave just the tomatoes because I don't have enough money.
Everyone is suffering, both the sellers and the buyers. It's a very stressful situation.
The country's annual inflation rate has surged past 100%, hitting a 3-decade high. Prices rose by 6.6% in February, bringing the 12-month total to 102.5%. Argentina now joins 4 other countries, Zimbabwe, Lebanon, Venezuela, and Syria, in reporting triple-digit inflation last year. The government has been scrambling to come up with a solution. It introduced a program called Fair Prices that has temporarily frozen the cost of more than 1,700 items through December, but that's had little impact on halting the rampant inflation. The country's economic woes are nothing new, and much of the population now lives in poverty. But the government's failure to get a handle on the situation could end up jeopardizing its deal with the IMF. This month, Argentina is due to receive its next payment of about 5 billion euros, but the International Monetary Fund has warned stronger efforts need to be made by the government in order to keep its 41 billion euro program with the IMF on track.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is an update on the situation in Argentina. As you saw at the start of the video, inflation is now above 100% in Argentina. So that means that year on year, prices have more than doubled. And of course, nobody in Argentina has seen their wages double in the last 12 months. So that means that the cost of living is rising dramatically and the standard of living in Argentina is falling. So in today's video, I'll have a look at exactly what's happening with inflation and how it compares to other countries around the world. I'll also talk to you about the ongoing drought that's been affecting Argentina for the last 3 years. And this is having a major impact on the economy also, because Argentina is one of the largest exporters of a variety of different foodstuffs. We'll then talk about the fundamental problems in Argentina. Why has it got itself into this situation? Because Argentina was actually classified historically as one of the 20 largest economies in the world. It's part of the G20. So Argentina is not classified as an emerging or a developing country. This is actually a first world nation that's got some of the highest inflation anywhere on the globe. We'll then talk about the current debt problems that Argentina is facing. I'll touch on what's going on with regards to Argentina's relationship with China. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen for Argentina over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and what the impact of all of this will be for the global economy. Now, before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and to let you know about their amazing 3-year deal, whereby you can get full coverage for only $1.83 per month, including an additional 3 months extra, and a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's fantastic news that it will protect you from hacking and tracking and data breaches. But what's also great news is that it can save you money and open up a whole new world of entertainment, because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for 1 subscription. And Atlas VPN is currently offering an amazing 3-year deal, whereby you can get full coverage for only $1.83 per month, including an additional 3 months extra and a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. So to purchase this exclusive Joe Blogs offer, please click in the description below. Argentina is located in South America and is the 2nd largest country by landmass after Brazil, and is the 3rd largest country by population, with a population of around 46.5 million. The name Argentina comes from the Latin word argentum, which means silver, And the country does have valuable natural resources, including silver, copper, and lithium. However, it also has rich, fertile soils. And agricultural products such as soybean, corn, and beef represent the biggest export revenue earners for Argentina. The first explorers from Spain arrived in Argentina in 1516 in an ill-fated mission where they were killed by the local natives. However, by 1536, Argentina was taken over as part of an enlarged Spanish empire, and Buenos Aires was established as the capital of the country. In 1808, a civil war erupted in Spain, and this subsequently led to Argentina declaring its independence from Spain in 1810. This chart shows the movement in the rate of inflation in Argentina over the course of the last 12 months. So you can see that this time last year, inflation was running at 55%, which is an extremely high rate. 55% inflation would still rank as one of the top 20 countries in the world. However, if you look at what's happened over the course of the last 12 months, you can see that there has been a continued and rapid increase in inflation. It's actually risen in every single month over the last year. And in February 2023, inflation broke through the unwanted 100% barrier and has come in at 102.5%. So that means that consumers have seen prices more than double over the course of the last year. And to put the current rates of inflation into context, this chart shows the movement in inflation rates over the last 25 years in Argentina. And this shows that 25 years ago, inflation was running at very low levels. There was a pronounced spike in inflation in 2004 when it rose to around 40% when Argentina experienced one of its previous economic crises. However, after that period, inflation did come back under control for a short period of time. Inflation in the second half of the noughties was around 10%, which is still high, but obviously nowhere near the current levels, and it remained at that level till around 2014. However, over the course of the last 9 years, you can see that inflation has started to get out of control in Argentina. And by 2019, it was running above 50%. Now, during the COVID pandemic, it did actually come back down below 40%. However, as Argentina and the rest of the world came out of the lockdowns in 2021, inflation has really taken off. And there has been a rapid increase from around 40% to the current level of above 100%. One metric that I always like to look at when I'm looking at inflation is what's happening with the price of food. Because as you'll be aware if you follow the channel, food inflation affects everybody. We all have to buy food. And the problem for the poorest members of society is that they're spending a larger proportion of their income on food. And you can see that over the course of the last 12 months, the price of food has risen in line with general inflation. And in February, food prices were up by 102.6%. And as you saw at the start of the video, that means that the poorest members of society can basically buy less food today because their income hasn't gone up by anywhere near 100%. They're now having to make very difficult decisions as to whether they spend their money on food or heating or other basic essentials. This chart shows the current rates of inflation for the G20, and the G20 is classified as the 20 largest economies in the world. And you can see that right at the top of this list is Argentina, and the current rate of inflation in Argentina is almost double the next country on the list, which is Turkey, which is also going through an economic crisis. It's also got major problems with inflation. But relative to Argentina, Turkey looks like it's doing quite well by only having 55% inflation. The next country on this list, which is also going through a crisis at the moment, is Russia, which is obviously facing a tsunami of sanctions at the moment. And inflation in Russia is running at 11%. So that's almost 10 times less than the inflation in Argentina. And this table compares the highest rates of inflation for every single country in the world. And you can see that Argentina is now ranked at number 4 on this list. And when you compare Argentina to the other countries, it really puts the problems into perspective. The current rate of inflation in Lebanon is 190%. And Lebanon's economy is war-torn. It was badly affected by the war situation and has never recovered from that position. Venezuela is the next highest country with 156%. And as you'll no doubt be aware, Venezuela, despite having the largest oil reserves in the world, is subject to sanctions by most of the West and therefore struggles to be able to do trade deals with other countries. The country with the third highest rate of inflation is Syria, which is another war-torn country where inflation is running at 139%. Argentina is number 4. The fifth worst performer on this list is Zimbabwe, which had an economic collapse a number of years ago. And when you look at the rest of the names on this list, most of these countries have either been affected by war or they've had a complete economic collapse. And the reason I wanted to show this is it really puts into context what a severe crisis Argentina is currently going through.
Argentina is facing one of its worst droughts in recent years. Argentina is the world's largest producer of soybean oil and flour, and three successive years of drought have raised fears in the country that this year's harvest, particularly of soybeans, will be significantly reduced, striking a blow to the South American country's exports and its domestic supplies.
We had to prepare for the worst scenario of the last 20 years in this grain campaign of soy and corn, and that is what we are seeing.
Argentina is experiencing its third successive La Niña climate phenomenon. That typically means limited rainfall in its key farm regions. Wheat forecasts for the year have already been scaled back from 21 million tons to 13 million. It'll likely be a similar story for soybeans.
It hasn't rained for several months. We have a very large deficit of many millimeters. We lost practically all the winter crops. We lost the barley crops. We lost the wheat. We lost the legumes that are shown in winter, such as vetch and well. All the summer crops, soya, corn, sorghum, and sunflower, were sown much later than they are normally sown.
Moreover, a new report by the Institute that tracks drought says that around 54% of the country was suffering from some lack of moisture, with 14% hit by severe drought and 9% by extreme or exceptional drought. Another consequence of the lack of rain, high temperatures and lack of humidity is recurring fires. The problems for farmers don't just end here. In the province of Santa Fe, the constant drought has decimated the cattle as well. Authorities estimate that some 3,000 cows have died in the province. According to a report from the Rosario Stock Exchange, some 26 million cows are at risk, half of the national total.
The cow dies, and 2 or 3 days later, the calves die. And that is serious because we live in the farm with the windows open and we listen all night to 100, 150, 200 calves bleating and bleating. And we know that that is the bleating of death.
Now, one of the reasons that Argentina is in such a dire situation today is because of all of the debt that the country has built up over the course of the last 50 years or so. During the 70s and 80s, Argentina went through a period of political instability and poor management of the economy, and the debt burden grew from around $4 billion at the start of the 70s to more than $52 billion by the end of the 80s. Now, at that time, concerns started to rise about the potential for Argentina to default on all of its debt. And in order to fix this problem, the president at the time decided to introduce a policy whereby the peso would be pegged against the US dollar on a one-to-one basis. So this was called uno a uno. Now, following the introduction of this policy, inflation did calm down and everybody became comfortable with the peso because you could exchange it on a one-to-one basis and this was backed by the Argentinian government. But the problem that Argentina had was that in order for that system to work, they needed to hold large amounts of US dollars, which they didn't do. So in order to get those dollars, they started taking on more and more debt in the international markets. And by 2001, the total debt in Argentina had ballooned to more than $100 billion. Now, people started becoming very concerned. And in November of that year, there was a run on all of the Argentinian banks. Everybody wanted to remove all of their money because they were concerned that the government was about to collapse and that they would lose all of their life savings. Now, in order to stop this run on the bank potentially escalating into a full collapse of the economy, the Argentinian authorities announced that the maximum withdrawal was $250 per week. Now, this announcement resulted in mass panic across the country, not least because a lot of the economy was working on a cash basis. So a lot of workers in the agricultural sector were being paid cash in hand. And because those companies could no longer access any of the cash, they couldn't pay anybody. And as a result of this chaotic situation, the IMF, which had provided loans of around $10 billion, announced that it was no longer allowing Argentina to draw down any further debt, which essentially meant that Argentina had no access to any further capital to service the $100 billion plus of debt that it had. And on the 23rd of December 2001, Argentina officially defaulted on all of its debt obligations and announced that it was scrapping the one-to-one peg of the peso against the US dollar. This chart shows the movement in the value of the Argentine peso versus the US dollar over the course of the last 12 months. And what's remarkable about this chart is that the line that you can see here is virtually drawn at 45 degrees. So that shows a continued and rapid deterioration in the value of the peso. This time last year, one US dollar was trading for around 110 pesos. Today, it's trading for more than 205 pesos. And I think it's interesting to note the correlation between inflation and the value of the peso. The peso has basically halved in value over the last 12 months, and inflation has doubled. So there's a symmetrical relationship between the two. And the problem for this in terms of Argentina's consumers is that when they're buying things that have to be imported into the country, most of those items are priced in dollars. And as the country is actually moving towards using the dollar rather than the Argentine peso, it means that there's a double whammy impact in Argentina. Prices have gone up 100% anyway, so that means that the value of your peso is half of what it was this time last year. But also when you're buying things in the international market, it means that you're now having to pay double the amount in pesos. So when you combine the impact of those two issues, that means that anything that Argentina is buying in the international markets are really becoming unaffordable. And to put the current crisis into perspective, this chart shows the movement in the value of the peso over the last 5 years. So you can see that 5 years ago, one US dollar was trading for 22 Argentine pesos. Today, it's over 200. So that represents a fall over that period of around 10 times in value. So that is a major deterioration for any country, but particularly a country like Argentina, which has a rich history and was classified as a first world nation back in the 1950s. It was one of the leading economic powers in the world. But today, the economy has basically fallen apart. Now, we've talked about dollarization before on the channel, but this is a situation whereby the local residents of a country decide that they no longer have any faith in their own currency, and therefore they would prefer to use other currencies. So just to give you a brief explanation as to why dollarization does occur. If you think of yourself living in Argentina and you've got 100,000 pesos in the bank and you're thinking, I'm very comfortable, I've got a lot of money. Now, 12 months ago, that 100,000 pesos equated to around about 100,000 US dollars. However, because the exchange rate has now fallen so dramatically for the peso, that 100,000 pesos today is only worth around 55,000 US dollars. So you can see why people are moving away from the currency. If you'd held all of your savings in US dollars, they would still be worth 100,000 today. However, by having it in pesos, it's now worth around half the amount. And the concern is that if the peso continues falling further, your life savings could actually be worth nothing just because the exchange rate is collapsing. So this is why people are desperately moving away from peso into currencies like the US dollar, because they believe that the US dollar has long-term value. Argentina's debt currently stands at $323 billion and includes the largest ever IMF deal of $57 billion that was agreed in 2018. Now, you may be thinking, hang on a minute, how come the IMF has given such a large loan to Argentina when it defaulted on the $9.5 billion of debt that was outstanding in 2001? Well, the reason for that is that as part of the restructuring negotiations that took place with the bondholders in 2005, Argentina managed to repay all of its debts in full with the IMF in the same year. This chart shows the annual drawdowns of debt, repayments, and interest payments made by Argentina to the IMF dating back to 1984. You can see that in 2005, Argentina repaid $2.4 billion, along with $345 million worth of interest. And in 2005, it repaid $6.7 billion worth of debt and $56 million worth of interest. You can then see in 2018, Argentina drew down $20.2 billion worth of additional debt. And in 2019, it took a further $11.7 billion. And after repaying $2.6 billion in 2021, it drew down a further $17.5 billion in 2022. And I think this table is really interesting because it shows that the IMF is forgiving. It forgave Argentina for defaulting on its debt back in 2001 because Argentina repaid it. But actually, that repayment of $9.5 billion was a smart move by Argentina because it then enabled them to put a new $57 billion deal in place and draw down significantly more debt. But the problem that Argentina has is that when you've got $323 billion worth of debt, you're constantly needing large amounts of cash just to pay the interest on that. And then you need to renegotiate all of the repayments because there's no way that Argentina have enough money to be able to make those repayments. They just need to renegotiate the bond and extend out for another 10 or 20 years. So this is a classic scenario of kicking the can down the road, deferring everything till some date in the future so that you don't have to make any of the repayments today. What's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give you an update on what's happening in Argentina. We've been talking a lot on the channel about high levels of inflation over the course of the last 12 months. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we saw prices of oil and food and other commodities spiking, and that pushed up inflation to record levels in a lot of countries. But when we're talking about record levels for most countries, we're talking about 10 or 12 or 15%. But Argentina today would be delighted with 10 or 15% inflation. The current rate of inflation of 102% represents a major emergency in the country. When you see inflation of more than 100%, it basically tells you that that economy has collapsed because there is no way that any individual or company or state or government can cope with that level of inflation. It's impossible. It means that things are out of control. And as you saw right at the start of this video, the real life impact of this is that a lot of people in Argentina are struggling to buy enough food to be able to feed their families. So Argentina needs to be bailed out. It needs some form of help. But the problem from Argentina's point of view is that this isn't the first time that they've been in this situation. Argentina has defaulted on its debt obligations on multiple occasions, and it's got the biggest bailout facility that the IMF has ever provided, and it needs more money. And the IMF is now saying that it's not happy with the way Argentina is managing its economy and that it may not release the next batch of cash. And of course, from Argentina's point of view, that would be an absolute disaster, because if the IMF does cut them off and says, no more, you cannot have any more cash, that would put Argentina into the same realm as countries such as Cuba and Venezuela, where there's basically nobody helping them out. They're having to just spend for themselves and sort out their own problems. And as I've mentioned a number of times in this video, Argentina in the 1950s was a powerhouse. It was one of the biggest economies in the world. It was a world leader. But unfortunately today, things have gone horribly wrong. And the main reason for this is because of all of the debt that Argentina has taken on historically and the fact that it hasn't ever got itself back to a stable situation. So in terms of what's the outlook over the next 3 to 6 months, well, as it stands right now, the outlook is fairly grim from Argentina's point of view. There doesn't look to be a solution to this problem. The government needs to sort out its issues. It needs to get all of the reforms in place that the IMF is looking for before it will release the next batch of money. But the problem with any reforms that the IMF wants to be introduced is that they create hardship. They make things worse for the individuals. Generally, you're looking for higher taxes and periods of austerity. But unfortunately, from Argentina's point of view, their people have already been living with austerity for a long period of time. And the question is whether or not there's any scope to tighten the belts further. But unfortunately, from Argentina's point of view, they don't really have many other options. It's the IMF way or no way. So they will have to comply to these terms and conditions in order to get that cash, and they really need that cash. So the outlook for the next 3 to 6 months for Argentina is highly negative. And in terms of what the impact of this will be on the global economy, well, a lot of countries do have trading relationships with Argentina, and it is one of the world's biggest exporters of a variety of different agricultural products and meat products. However, as we saw from the video, unfortunately, the drought that's been affecting the country for the last 2 years is continuing and actually is getting worse. And that's going to only accentuate Argentina's problems. One of their hopes was that if this had been a good season, then maybe they could have started bringing in more revenue from selling all of those crops overseas. But as they've now got a shortage of all of these food substances, that's likely to make things worse. So the overall assessment from today's video is that things are bad right now in Argentina, but over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, they could get materially worse. So I'll keep you posted on any further major developments coming out of Argentina. If you've liked what I've said today, if you thought it was interesting, informative, and thought-provoking, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And here is something to put a big smile on your face.